All right, so we are have here for the last day of Perek Tesvav. So Tesvav deals extensively with the issues of tzedakah. There's, I was able to pick up recently, kind of took it from my father's house who had it, from the Mesoris HaRav Chumash. So the Mesoris HaRav Chumash came out with teachings from Rav Soloveitchik, and sort of collected things from various things that are already out that he wrote. So there's other bunch of other books, and if there's something that was connected to the pasuk, so it got put in here. So on these psukim of tzedakah, it collects from three or four different sources that all are making the same point, or I say the exact same point, but are making a similar point, that we often perceive tzedakah, we often perceive the mitzvah of tzedakah as like being a tax, especially when we have the 10%, the idea of taking Meiser off, which is from perhaps sourced in the last parak, but we see that as, oh, well, I got to take off my 10%, and it's sort of a tax that is removed from us. But it's also that the idea of ben adam l'chaveru. It's also because people have compassion on their friends, and they realize that there is a need for others, there's a need to assist those other people. And therefore, it's not so much a tax as much as a chesed, as much as a recognition that there's a chesed and a responsibility to do that chesed for the other person. So it's sort of a bit of a dialectic here. On one hand, we want to say that it is an act of kindness that we're doing altruistically. On the other hand, the word of tzedek, as pointed out, tzedakah is often translated as charity. So charity is something that I'm doing because I totally want to. So it's giving when I don't have an obligation to give. So we don't understand it that way. We understand the mitzvah of tzedakah as being something that I am, that I'm I try to be justified, but that I'm not sure this is the right use of a term, but something that justice requires me to do. Tzedakah comes from the word tzedek, and therefore it's a requirement. So we're trying to sort of thread that needle of a requirement and be something I want to do, and how do we thread that needle? So we can see some an idea about that coming up. So in Rabbi Simon has a chapter in Imrei Baruch, one of his essays, is on the topic, where he spells out the idea that when we that part of the essence of the mitzvah of tzedakah, and sort of embedded in it, is as the Torah writes, "Kasher yitnena yitenu sabas sever panim yafos." That when we give tzedakah, you have to give it with a happy face and joyful and with a good heart, and that we feel bad that this person is going through this tsar, and we tell him, you know, everything will work out for you, hopefully everything will be okay. And not only that, but if you give it with a sour face, you don't give it in a nice way, so you actually lose your zechus. So you get the impression here that it's not, if you would have asked me, I would have said, well, at least he gave the money. So the way the Torah is writing it is, no, you've lost that. You've lost the you've lost the schar that comes from, because the mitzvah aspect of it is giving it the sefer panim yafos. And he quotes here from the Ari as well, she'ikar kabbalas haschar li'olam habahi al hasimcha be'es nesinas hatzaka, that the main point of the schar that one gets is the joy that you have at the giving of the tzedakah. And the makabel yosir schar al hasimcha mi'al tzedakah atzma, and you get more schar for the joy of giving than for the actual giving itself. And the way the Sefer HaChinuch spells it out is misharshei hamitzvah lechazek v'likvoa b'livavenu midas hanedivus. What is the point of the mitzvah of tzedakah? So you should ask me, what's the point of the mitzvah of tzedakah? There are people who need money, and if you're going to give, and if you're responsible to give them money. So he says, no. The main point is that to establish in your heart the midah, the characteristic of giving, that there is a midah aspect, a very strong midah aspect of tzedakah that we often don't listen to. So how do we tap into that? How do we gain from that midah? How do we sort of have, what is the attitude that one has in order to achieve that that idea that I am that I'm supposed to be enjoy giving, I'm supposed to recognize that this is a this is something I should want to do, and I should be happy to be able to do it. What?
The opportunity to help.
Yes. Right. So how do we do that? So there is an interesting Or HaChaim. We often quote the Or HaChaim in Mefarshim Day. It's on the page of the Mikros Gedolos. This goes back to Shmos. Then in the pasuk says, "In kesef tilva esami esani amecha," the mitzvah of giving out loans. So it says, "Im kesef tilva esami." So what does the word "im" mean? So "im" is one of those Hebrew words that can mean several different things. So "im" could mean when. It could also mean if. Usually "im" is if. But the Or HaChaim says, in this scenario, it actually means when. Because that is something that is going to be. When your friend needs money for you to be able to give. And that is sort of that. And as the pasuk spells out in our words here, in our parak, that the mitzvah, that there always will be poor people. So why is the world set up that way? The Or HaChaim wants to know. The Or HaChaim explains, why didn't Hashem just give everybody what they need? Right? That would be easy enough. Just send everybody their food stamps, and they can have their clothes stamps, and they can have their Medicare for all.
Bernie's
going to
do that.
Right. They want to leave room for Bernie to be able to do something. Right, but why didn't Hashem just give everybody exactly what they need? Why is it that some people have more than they need, and some people have less than they need? So the Or HaChaim develops this idea that, well, the ideal is for everybody to have what they need coming straight from Kadosh Baruch Hu, and not only to have it coming straight from Hashem, but to recognize that it's coming straight from Hashem. Now, we don't achieve that level, so for many of us, we have what we need, and we try to recognize that it comes from Hashem. We offer those brachos and hope that we can, achieve that. The other side of it is that what if a person is not getting what they need? And this is a little challenging to get, but he says a person who is not getting what they need, that's because for whatever reason Hashem said, I'm not going to directly give it to you. Rather, you're going to get it further through someone else. That someone else is going to be the one who's going to get for you. We're going to have a more distant relationship than that. Now, it gets a little tricky in that he seems to be assigning that whether one is wealthy or poor is a function of whether one should be, is a function of schar v'onesh, is a function of you're getting a reward for something you did or being punished for something that you didn't do. That's a little bit tough when we factor in the amount of great people in our history that have suffered. I mean, that's that don't have enough. So to just make it simply like that is a little hard to swallow, I think. But that's when the Or HaChaim lays it out. So a person who has an abundance and has what to give as tzedakah to people who don't have what they need. So the attitude should be that you were given that in order to be the shliach of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, in order to be the messenger of Hashem, to be able to get it to those people that are still in need of that. That is the suggestion that the Or HaChaim has. He quotes it as well here from the Apterav, this idea, And you being able to have that messenger, that gives you a place, that gives you recognize the role that you have in this world to be able to be the distributor of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if one has that attitude, so that will make a person more joyful. I mentioned last Shabbos, I heard this story that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, it's a little bit of a different topic, but it could be attributed here as well, that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was doing one of these press conferences, what they call them, where yeshiva guys, they could all just ask whatever they want. So he used to do these in his yeshiva in Har Etzion. So one time a person asked the question, I want to be able to learn a lot, but I find learning boring. Right? I find Talmud Torah, I find it boring. So do you have any etzas for me? Which, you know, I often thought about that. Like when you, to discuss with Gedolei Hador, the simcha of learning, well, it's a lot easier to have simcha in learning when you're like really good at it. But until one achieves that point, right, it's hard and it's tedious. I give this boy credit to be able to be honest and say, I find it boring. I find it tedious and boring. So how do any etzos, to which Rav Aaron Lichtenstein responded by saying, well, how about you take out the word learning Torah and put in the word Dvar Hashem, right? The word of God. And say the sentence again. Rabbi, I want to be able to understand the Dvar Hashem, but I find the Dvar Hashem boring. Right? Would anybody ever formulate a sentence that way. I find the word of God boring. I find speaking to God, tefillah, I find it boring. Right? It's hard to enunciate a sentence like that. And we just often don't recognize it as being such. We don't recognize Torah as being the Dvar Hashem. We sometimes just think of it as oxen goring one another. But that's the Dvar Hashem. That's the word of Hashem. And tefillah is speaking to Hashem. And the idea of tzedakah then, according to this idea of the Or HaChaim, is being a messenger of Hashem. So one would never say, I find it tedious and boring to be the messenger of Hashem. It's exciting, right, to be the one who's be able to deliver the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if one has that attitude, so perhaps the giving of tzedakah becomes easier, becomes much more joyful as well. He says along those lines, there's an Alshech that points out, also on those psukim in Mishpatim, that the Gemara tells us that a person who writes all of his nechasim to one of his children, he has a will, and the will says all my things should go to one person. So that's not in tune with the laws of inheritance. So the Gemara actually says what he must have meant was, all my things are going to that child who's going to be the apotropos. Apotropos is a term for the agent. He's going to be the agent in order to distribute it to everybody else. That's how the Gemara understands lahalacha, that statement. So the Alshech explains, says, say, that's the way we understand tzedakah. All of the assets were given to this one person. Hashem gave all the bracha to this guy. So where does that leave him? It must mean that he's the tool to be able to distribute it to everybody else. And that, you know, you could keep. There's a story that is told with one of the Rothschilds that he gathered his accountants or something and says to them, I need a list of my assets. I want to know what I own. So they go and they work on all of his real estate deals and all of his stocks and all of his options and all of his futures. And they come back to him with a number and say, we came up with a number of all the things that you own. So he says, no, those aren't the things that I own. Those are all things that could be taken away from me at any time. My house could burn down in a fire, and my real estate could all go bust, and all the stock market could crash. So how could you tell me that those are the things that I own? The only things that I really own are the money that I gave away, the tzedakah that I've given. Those things can never be taken away from me. I gave that amount to somebody else, and that tzedakah is taken care of. And and I also heard a story along those lines on a much smaller scale. That Rebbetzin Machlis, you've heard of the Machlis family?
The one that did
made all the suitors. All the Hachnasas Orachim, yes. The Machlis.
50 people every week.
At least.
Washed all the dishes by hand.
Yes.
By herself.
Yes, in about 50, 60 people in a room probably smaller than this. I never was there. My wife was there, and my brother-in-law was actually very close with him. I would go regularly to help out during the week to set things up. So he... What?
There's a book written about her.
Yes. So the Rebbetzin passed away a few years ago, right? There's a book written about, I think, Chicken Soup for the Soul, about some story like that. So she, apparently she gave, what she would give her, a child would ask, I need money for a snack or something like that. So she would give him $10 or 10 shekel and say, and they would practice right then. Okay, I just gave you 10 shekel, so what do you do with that? So one of the shekelim is then given to tzedakah. And then the mother would say, so how much do you have? And the child said, well, I have 9. No, the answer is no, you have 1. The 1 shekel you gave to tzedakah, that's what you have, and the rest you'll go spend on something else. A similar lesson on perhaps smaller scale. And then one more.
You have to give it away to keep it.
Right.
You know, there's a saying, Perkei Avos, that says, tzedakah preserves wealth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ah, so here we go. Right, the tzedakah is preserving wealth. So speaking of Mishnayos on Pirkei Avos, so there is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that said Rabbi Eliezer Ish Bratusa Omer Tein Lo Mishalo Shata V'Shelcha Shalo. Give him of yours, because what yours, what Shata V'Shelcha, that which is yours is really his. Give him which is yours, because what is yours is really his. So what does that mean? So the Gemara, so the Mefarshim talk about that this is your efforts, this is your work, but some of the Mefarshim just say this is talking about your money. Give him of your money, because what is yours, your money, is really his money.
That's the idea behind Terumah last week. I think that's where the Parsha opened up.
Yeah.
It's really Hashem's you're giving back.
Be clear, yes, there are many Mefarshim about that, right. Right, right. That's really Hashem's stuff that he's taking. Why is it vayichu as opposed to vayitnu? Vayichu, that you're going to take what is already rightfully yours. Yeah, and it's sometimes it's a little hard. I'll tell you a mashal. I never understood this. Now I have my own little business, my mezuzah business, and I have sales tax that I have to take off. So how does sales tax work? I never knew how this works. All right, sales taxes, you collect all the money, and you're supposed to keep track. And every 3 months, you got to write a check to the government for the amount of sales tax you collected. But until you're doing that, it's in your bank account, right? So you look at your bank account. It looks very nice. And all of a sudden, you got to write a check for sales tax for a few hundred, well, you know, for me, it's maybe a few $100. Others, a few $1,000, all right, depending on the size of your, business. So you know intuitively that, oh, all this money in my account is not mine. A bunch of it I'm just holding for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania until those tzaddikim come and spend it on all the wonderful things they're going to spend it on, right? You intuitively know that my bank account's not that big, but it still hurts, right? To write that check, and all of a sudden you see the amount that you thought you had diminished. So you don't really have it, and you haven't really earned it, right? You earned it just simply because the Commonwealth said, you're going to hold this for us for a little bit. So that I have found as a helpful mashal for the tzedakah aspect. And then with regards to the simcha idea, just one more thought, and actually I have to run because I have a mezuzah job I got to get to. There is a machlokes that the Rambam discusses in his parish in the Shemona Prachim, actually in the introduction to Rambam in his commentary on the Mishnah, has an introduction to Pirkei Avos, which is five or six prakim, which he calls the Shmona prakim, the eight prakim, because the introduction is divided up into eight ways. So perhaps the most famous of those is the sixth parak of the Shmona prakim, where he discusses a dispute between the Rabbanim and the philosophers. The philosopher, like, who is considered better? The person who has no desire to sin, which is what the philosophers claim, or the person who has a desire to sin and is able to overcome it, which is what the righteous people claim. So the Rambam discusses this contradiction, but points out, and he says, on one hand, we have, the Medrash tells us that a person should never say, oh, that food is disgusting, I would never want to eat a cheeseburger. Rather, you should say, a cheeseburger looks very good, but what can I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and prohibited it. Which implies that, which is a proof to say, that that it is better to say that, I have a desire for it, but I'm just going to hold back and not do it. And by the way, Arayos is all listed in that. We often try to train ourselves into thinking that immoral sexual activity is like, oh, something I should not want anything to do with. No, it's on the list, actually, of things of, I would like to do that, but what can I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said I can't. But, on the other hand, there are certainly things. I think we would be kind of uncomfortable knowing about a friend of ours that said, look, I really would like to take an axe and chop your head off, but what can I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, lo tirtzach. Hashem says not to murder. So what can I do? I can't murder. So that would make us a little bit uncomfortable, right? So how do we put those two? So the Rambam distinguishes and says that some mitzvos are mitzvos sichlios, and some are mitzvos, I've got the term, exact term he uses. I mean, some are mitzvos Dvar Hashem, that Hashem gave us those mitzvos, and while we might come up with reasons or understand reasons, etc., we leave that saying those are in the realm of Hashem. And there are other mitzvos that if Hashem wouldn't have come up with, we would have come up with ourselves. So then we plug tzedakah into that. So where would I put tzedakah? Would I put tzedakah on the side of mitzvos that Hashem commanded? What can I do? I have to do it. Or is it placed on the ledger of things that I obviously would want to do? We would do anyways. Even if it wasn't a mitzvah, I would go ahead and try to figure out a way to do it anyway. So he takes, I didn't see a proof, but based on what we're saying, we understand it. I mean, once you understand the logic behind it, we would put it on the mitzvah sichlios side. It is the mitzvah that is part of society and part of something that certainly makes sense. And even though I say, hey, wait a second, it's not fair. I put in all this work and this guy's not putting in the work. Why should I give any money to him? So then we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we plug in the Or HaChaim of saying that you're just really the kli, right? If we really build up that emunah and say, no, you're just really the kli to be able to give the money over to the other person, so then we understand that it isn't something that I have to do even though I don't want to, but rather it is something that I can do besimcha with love and joy and get real fulfillment out of the giving of tzedakah. It doesn't mean that I just give it to anybody. It doesn't mean that, oh, well, anybody who comes, I should, right? We're still, Hashem gave us money, and we're supposed to be responsible on how we deal with it. What?
When they come on Purim, you have to give to everybody.
Right. There's such an idea on Purim, right? But we are still supposed to be responsible about it, but we are also supposed to give the tov levav with a good heart, and we should all be on the side of the givers and be able to give with the joy and be able to feel the idea that we are doing it as Shaluchei Hashem.
Oh,
I'm going to stop here.